Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey, wonderfuls. Happy Valentine's. We've got a very fun episode now with clown, comedian, and all sorts of other wonderful things, John Luke Roberts. He came round to cook me the perfect fried egg. And what a perfect guest to have on Valentine's Day, actually, but one who's clearly super loved up to the nines with his new husband. First up, thanks so much if you came to the live show in Leicester last weekend. It was absolutely lovely and very funny and I learned so much. And it will go out as an episode soon enough. The next live shows are in May because I'm a very busy bastard on tour with my show Hench. Come if you want. I'm going all over the place, including Ireland and even Melbourne. So go to my website, jessicafostercue.com, to see where I'm going that might be near you. Lots of it is selling out, so I'd recommend doing it quickly. Thanks for listening to my podcast. It's my pride and joy. I'd love you to tell more people about it, please. And if you could rate, review and subscribe, because when you give it 5 stars, more people find it, apparently. So that's nice. And thank you if you've already done that. If you've got spare dosh, you could become a patron. You get loads of exclusive content and discounts to live shows and stuff. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Yeah, the patrons who give $10 a month recently got a completely exclusive months early special second birthday edition mega feast with loads of guests episode of Hoovering. Right, let's start this episode. As we begin this, I'm already assisting John Luke in frying his perfect eggs, and I'm, for context, openly embarrassed that he's come round to fry eggs and I've only got 2 eggs left in my fridge. And as it turns out, apparently it's slightly embarrassing that they're even in the fridge.
The thing is, I came via Marks and Spencer. I should have bought some eggs.
Oh, you should as well.
It's just you were so confident about having eggs.
I was. I thought it was the only thing I had.
What do you want? Do you want to compete or...?
I want you to make both eggs. Okay. And I'll watch and try and capture the sizzling noise. As there's only 2 eggs, are you happy to have a tiny pan?
I'll use the tiny pan, I can't.
Okay. Thanks for coming round here and frying eggs for
me. Thank you, no, it's a pleasure.
I want to know how a perfect egg gets fried. At least the 2 eggs I have got are really good eggs.
Okay, good. You keep them in the fridge?
I do keep them in the fridge. Oh dear, am I doing it wrong?
No, I thought there was a competing schools of thought about where to keep eggs. I don't keep mine in the fridge, but I don't know why. But I think there's something about temperature disparity or something.
Oh.
But I don't know what it is.
I just thought they lasted even longer. And I quite often, not that you'll believe me because you've come round to my two-egg house, buy in bulk when it comes to egg time. Egg buying time.
Yes.
I'm being so clumsy today. Shall I put the hob on for you?
I can do it.
You just put a massive hob on. Tiny pan, massive hob.
Oh, well, actually, you're right.
It was a funny choice.
Well, I like the position.
Yeah, I've made a hob.
I'm not sure because the main trick of frying eggs is to keep it very cool. But to keep the...
Is it?
Yeah. Well, this is especially my mother's method.
Oh, so your mum taught you to fry an egg when you were an urchin?
Yes.
A small child?
I think probably maybe a teenager.
Oh, really?
We were...
Did you have an eggless youth, or were there adults to provide you fried eggs?
This is the thing. I think my mum developed the attitude to life that she may as well just do it herself because it'd be quicker.
Right.
So I was sort of had a luxurious childhood of very rarely being called on to like wash up or do chores or things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just realised there's a bit of dirt there. It's from a very recent stew. Don't be too upset.
You don't need to.
Now, what oil are you going to choose as an egg frying perfectionist?
Well,
ground nut, sunflower, extra virgin, normal olive, or rapeseed, or sesame.
I'll go for the extra virgin olive oil.
There you are.
Thank you.
So there's competing theories about whether to use extra virgin olive oil in cooking.
Is there?
Because it burns so quickly. But then if you're going to do some trick where you do them
I did some fish. I cooked some fish the other day and followed the recipe to cook the fish. And it called for sesame oil.
Yeah.
And it was only then I realised, when I threw the fish in and realised how hot it had got.
Yeah.
Because that's presumably... I've learned out a different...
Sesame oil is meant to be like pretty much a dressing, isn't it, really? You're not necessarily meant to eat it very much.
Sesame oil?
Sesame oil and...
Oh, sunflower oil. Sorry, I said the wrong thing.
Oh, sunflower oil.
Yeah, they both begin with an S, don't they?
Yes, so just like sausage oil.
Like I always think of Barry Manilow and Rod Stewart as the same person. They're not.
They've got similar hair.
Yeah,
like a sparrow.
It took me years for years.
Like a sexy man sparrow.
That's it. They both look like sort of bird men.
Yes.
And I didn't realise I was doing it. But I would, whatever name somebody would say, I'd imagine the same human.
Right.
And then only when somebody mentioned Barry Manilow and Rod Stewart together, I suddenly that's two different names. Yeah. They're two different people.
It's shocking when that happens. I get it quite a lot. Oh, he's going in. That's quite chefy of you to have cracked the egg on the side of the pan.
Oh, how do you do it?
I get a knife. Oh, you see,
the knife. I see that as the classy option that I've just never.
Oh, I think it's sort of. I think the really chefy people just like
nice
do
eggs.
It all with one hand, don't they?
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
These are. I normally get eggs from a place down in Dorset whenever I pop down, but it's not been open since Christmas. I've been really annoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
They've gone on holiday.
I think they've set up. Like down the road, but somewhere I don't quite know where it is. It's just a farm that's got loads and loads of chickens, and they sell their eggs in a little hut. But yeah, these are my favourite supermarket ones, which are Burford Browns from Sainsbury's.
Right, yes. You have the exciting tap that my partner wanted.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, not the exact model, but they're American. And so they generally have that pull out swooshy swooshy.
Okay, fair enough. My tap has been a revelation actually. When I first moved in here, I had no idea it did anything other than yes, toast. There's some bread. I had no idea. I'm so sorry with just having one egg on toast each.
Oh
it's
no,
it's really pathetic.
It's
very Spartan.
It's very Second World War, isn't it?
Yes. It's a sort of really weird, savoury afternoon tea that we're having. my son pulled it out. I didn't even realise the tap extended the head. Oh. He pulled it out, I was like, oh, fucking hell, he's broken it! But actually, obviously, and then I'd been in here 6 months before I realised there's a button you can press on the top to change how it spurts.
I worked that out immediately.
Well, there we go. I embarrassed myself.
No, I pushed that button thinking that's how you pulled it out.
And then you got the shower.
Sorry, I thought I better correct myself from.
What should I get out?
Rampant
plates?
Arrogance. I was. A spoon would be quite useful.
Oh, a spoon indeed. Bloody hell.
You don't keep your spoons where I would expect
big
them to
be. Big spoon. No, sorry.
Did you do that? You walk into people's kitchens and then sort of assume
what's in which cupboard? Go. Mm. My partner's had to do a lot of rearranging just for her sanity of this kitchen because I don't put things in logical places.
Right, yes.
They are logical for me. It all makes sense.
Well, I'm having a very similar thing. My spouse has just moved into the country, actually, and there's sort of constant negotiations and understanding of different ways of doing things.
Oh my god!
We're very good at communicating, but it doesn't take a long time.
But it does. It takes never such a long time. Looks brilliant.
Well, the trick you see is to you're quite cool, and then you baste the eggs. You cook them from above.
Oh, I see. To save any flippery.
Hmm.
Well, I'm really impressed.
I've used, I would say, more oil than I meant to, because I was confused by the pan.
I like it. There's nothing wrong with really oily eggs, because we just slough that off.
Yes. Slough
it off.
Oh, slough it off, yeah. I learned to poach eggs recently.
Oh, I learned to poach eggs.
Years of not being able to poach an egg. And now, in fact, I sort of out-poached egg myself. I ended up making them so often that I've had a break from them now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to know your method, please.
Of poaching?
Yeah.
Oh, just simmering, salt. Yeah. Don't put any vinegar in or anything like that in the water. Swirl it with a spoon. Then get the egg out of the box. I found that gets to exactly the right time of when I crack the egg in, it's just the nice little place to keep it in the middle. And then 3 minutes and out.
Wow. I have a different method.
What's your method?
I boil the water, salt, no vinegar, and then turn it down so it's only just bubbling.
Yes.
Not at all, but I know it's been there. It's been there. It's hot enough.
Mm.
And then I crack an egg into a ladle. And then I tip the ladle very gently in. And I probably do even less than 3 minutes.
Do you do any swirling?
No swirling.
No swirling at all?
No.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. I'm copying chefs that did it like that in a hotel I worked in as a teenager. And butter?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Silly question. Do you do cooking for people often?
I've come to it quite late,
right.
I think. I had about 4 recipes for most of my 20s.
Yeah.
All of which my mother had taught me.
Yeah.
And recently, like in the last 5 years...
And was one of them
years,
fried
I guess,
eggs?
I've done it more. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. But I wouldn't do them for dinner, generally.
Yeah.
But a morning egg. And actually, I think I really took to cooking through breakfasts. Touring Australia in a play, a parody of Game of Thrones... I took charge of breakfasts.
Nice.
And that led, you can't fry eggs every day, so started.
Really?
Right, they're done, I think.
Yee! Saves our toast nearly. I'm quite liberal with butter.
But not with your politics.
No! Not a butter Nazi. Shame about my actual. I've got an Austrian grandmother, so it's a bit weird.
Oh.
Here we go.
Fish slice.
Is that good? Fish slice?
Fish slice, yes.
I'll take the spoon, but I'll let you finish dishing. I'm excited. Oh God, it's so stingy not to have more eggs in here.
No, I, to be honest, it's very slippy. That'll be the oil.
That'll be all the oil.
All the oil.
It looks so pretty. Don't they look pretty? They're like art.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed. It's an incredible yolk colour, isn't it, on those eggs?
They're a nice orange yolk.
That oil looks really good as well.
Do you have any salt? I'll put a little bit of salt on.
Salt. And would you like pepper? Or any hot sauce? Is this one? Yeah, that's salt. Thank you.
I would like some pepper. Let's not go hot sauce.
Okay.
I do like hot sauce on an egg.
But I feel like I want to show off the egg.
Yes, this is about showing off all the things to do with the egg. Perfect, thanks. Oh, God. I'm so impressed. Just going to boil this kettle again, annoying me. But also, when we just had something simple, but like we're trying to do it perfectly, like they do on. There's always a section of TV cooking, like MasterChef and all of those. There's that new brilliant one with Jade Adams called Crazy Delicious.
Which I'm
loving.
Is it good?
She's very funny. Yeah.
I used to watch that.
It's ridiculous, but she's so funny.
And it has some Blumenthal's in it.
I'm sort of emotionally moved by it. I really love
But joy Jade is an emotion.
Yes, joy is an emotion, and I bellow out loud at Jade's humour in it. They've let her be entirely herself in a way that's really lovely. Bosh. Yeah, boy. Oh, I'm just going to take a picture and then it's my admin done. I want to get a picture of our perfect eggs.
Should I hold the eggs next to each other?
Yes.
And I'll point at the eggs.
Like siblings being forced to look as if they love one another, even though one of them's a baby and one of them's a toddler.
Oh, yeah.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ready, steady.
Eat.
Eat. This looks so good. Okay.
I see you've not got. You've left the yolk till second.
Yeah.
You've just had white on a bit of. Wow.
Yeah, it was. Is that weird?
I don't know. I pierce it immediately.
Immediately. Mm. I love the use of olive oil. I think it's really nice.
It makes it feel healthy as well, I think, the taste of olive oil.
Yeah. Yeah, because olives are a fruit, vegetable. Mm-hmm. I like to get a piece of lonely toast that's got no other type of egg on it and use that to pierce the yolk.
Mm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Thank you. I inherited it.
My nana taught me how to make scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I make the best scrambled eggs in my family. I always get tasked with it on Christmas morning.
What's your technique?
Remember my dad getting really angry with me because it wasn't the same as his technique. Or just being like, you're a fucking idiot. It's more about my dad, isn't it?
It's not Christmassy, actually. Yeah. That's like every Christmas I had growing up.
What do I do? I put the butter in the saucepan or pan. Loads of butter.
Mm.
Fucking loads. And then I have only like a tiny droplet of milk. Sometimes no milk. And loads of eggs. And then just them in a bowl, fork them up. Loads of salt and pepper. And then when the butter's melted, don't let it go burny.
Mm.
Tip it in, super low heat, never stop stirring. And dish it up when it still looks quite runny because of how much it carries on cooking.
Right, never stop stirring. Lovely.
It's all about attention. And it doesn't
take the right level of gooiness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a dry scrambled egg is a bleak thing.
Oh, but God, then a wet scrambled egg is a... Oh, no, I know what you mean, like the fluffy, dusty, hard shit you get in hotels and vats.
Yeah,
that's an affront. I've prepared questions for you. That's professional and sensible, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Have you eaten anything particularly brilliant or awful this week?
Oh, this week?
Or in the last weeks?
Yes, let me think. My memory is awful. This is something I've learnt.
I want to know about the things you cooked for the cast of Game of Thrones on tour through Australia every morning.
Oh, it was just varieties of tomatoes, mushrooms and breakfast meats. but in different, like sometimes I, you know, mix the tomatoes and the mushrooms together to make a kind of sauce, and might put chilies in to make it spicy. Or it was just, you know, I'd I'd
breakfast meats.
Breakfast meats, but it's odd thing I've found about Australia. Meats? Pork is not their main sausage.
Oh, what
beef seems to be their main sausage.
It means a beef sausage.
I know.
Oh my god. That's interesting. Do you think that's because of a religious demographic or just what they've got growing there? I'm asking you to answer a question
the whole reason the Abrahamic faiths have a problem with eating pigs is really originally a health issue, because in the middle of the desert, pork doesn't keep very well.
Yeah.
Australia's mainly desert. It's probably the same thing.
Right. That's interesting. I thought they just thought that pigs were filthy.
Well, I think
they are quite filthy, aren't they? But so are people, really.
That's true.
But also, nothing's filthier than a dog.
That's true, but most major world religions do also have a sort of ban on eating people.
That's true.
Yeah.
And dogs.
People, dogs and pigs.
Yeah.
I just realised I had a dinner party last week.
Right.
And I cooked that.
Oh, okay.
That was it tasted very nice.
Yay!
Followed a recipe by Levi Roots.
Wow!
His Caribbean cooking made easy.
And he did.
He did, yeah.
It was easy for you.
I had some tilapia soaked in lime for an hour or so.
Wow!
And then lightly floured.
That guy's right?
Yes.
Yeah.
White, firm white fish. And then that's what I cooked in the very hot sunflower oil. And this was a panic moment.
Right. Especially when you're cooking for other people.
Yeah, and they're all there, because my kitchen's also in the, you know, there's a like breakfast bar between that and
open plan.
Yeah.
Living.
And so I couldn't feign, because I threw in the fish and didn't realise there's a method of throwing fish into oil, which
is there?
Well, you do it away from you.
Okay.
Yeah, which at the time I hadn't really thought through.
Molten face.
Yeah, so I got burnt quite. I got burnt on my toe. I must have been barefoot cooking, and all socks, I guess.
Yeah.
Hot oil can burn through socks.
Ow!
Can it?
I didn't know that.
Well, I must be able to.
It's definitely burnt through. It's definitely really hurts.
Mm.
It can definitely get through a thin item of clothes. It depends how chunky his socks were.
Yes,
if he had sort of winter slipper socks on, I think you'd maybe...
That's true. I stopped using my silk apron years ago.
I was
going to
say, do you have a pinny?
No, I threw one away and then thought, wait.
I've been gifted about four in my life and I've never worn any of them. It's so pointless. What's wrong with me?
It's weird, I know, because I think they'd be useful.
Yeah, genuinely,
but
really
my,
handy.
Yeah, my my husband is the word we settle on.
Husband.
Got me Marie Kondoing.
Right.
So I've cleared out so much.
Nice.
But then there's occasionally things you go, oh, I guess actually, although that apron didn't light me up, it was quite useful.
Yeah. I thought that was the other thing you were allowed.
Well, yeah.
Does it serve a purpose?
Well,
or
I was doing it like through river. And river, I think, is maybe more stern than Marie Kondo. And if this is functional, why can't it be beautiful too?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Brutal.
Although, to be
fair... Is this to make the most of a small living space?
Well, also, you know, I've lived in this flat for 10 years. Yeah. And then, you know, they're moving in with their stuff and it's their home now.
Yeah.
And so I've accumulated a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And... That many people who'd lived there before had left a lot of... There were, you know, previous partners.
Oh, God. And ex-housemates.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ex-housemates, ex-loves. It's extraordinary amount, actually, from one ex.
it's a serious territory marker.
Well, it was, yes. It was. So there's always this threat of... I thought I couldn't get rid of this because I knew as soon as I did. And it's been like years and years, like 6 years or something. But I still thought, no, she'll want that. As soon as I get rid of it, she'll be on the phone asking.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a nightmare, isn't it? I learned a fascinating thing. It's got nothing to do with eating, but it sort of has.
Okay.
About anglerfish. Do you know about them? They... the women anglerfish are massive. I'm going to try and write some stand-up about it. But the men, they're about 2 feet, 2 feet long, the women ones. Mm-hmm. They're really ugly. They've got these massive teethy jaws and the thing that comes out their forehead that to light up the way, because they live so deep in the sea, it's very dark. But the men ones are only as big as like a fingerprint. They're tiny and they're see-through. They've got all the same bone structure, but they're nowhere near as developed.
Oh, wow.
And they basically are just massive nostrils and gonads and eyes. But their nostrils are to sniff a woman, because if they don't find a woman anglerfish within 24 hours, they die. So only 1% of boy anglerfish ever, or male anglerfish ever survive beyond a day.
Oh.
And when they find a woman one, they to mate with it, they bite her bottom, fuse their entire face, jaw, and then body with her, including digestive systems, pop their gonads in, and then they have to, then they're fused to her, and they have to dangle off her forever. And that's what you talking about there still being lots of stuff of your exes in your home made me think of. Because at least you haven't got all your exes dangling from your buttocks for the rest of your life.
It's great symbolism, that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's nice to talk about eating.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You do clowning. You're a clown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a clown. Mm-hmm. Is that ever involved food?
Classic clowning, there's a lot of...
I was going to say, in my mind...
Banana skins, pies.
Yeah.
At clown school, there was a lot of... When it came to putting a show together, he was very keen on pies.
Oh, God.
But he seemed to take it as a sort of... effectively, you're not really funny. I'd do something with a pie. He didn't put it in those words, but it was more or less the kind of, you can try a pie.
But did you ever use any food in any of your clowning, apart from when you'd be trying to coax into using a pie?
I've ended up in using... I used to use food in my shows quite a lot.
Or eating. Have you ever eaten anything as part of the show?
Yes, I one year ate 6 lemons.
Oh! Crap.
It's a fun routine, actually. It was my favourite part of that show.
Was your favourite part of the show?
Well, it was... I'll explain the number, because it was the show was about a breakup, and the whole kind of setup for the show was I was trying to make out that I wasn't doing a breakup show, but it was clearly a breakup show.
Yeah.
And then it kind of culminated in this bit where I'd talk about on our last anniversary together, I bought her a fruit basket. No, she bought me a fruit basket and I made her a mixtape. And then and she said, well, eat the fruit. And I said, we'll play the mixtape. And we agreed that for every track she played, I would eat a piece of fruit.
Oh, God.
And then so I'd get an audience member up to mime being her and, like, pressing play on an imaginary thing to go to the next track. And the tech would move the next track on. But the joke was basically the fruit basket was all, like, lemons.
Yeah.
And the mixtape was all different covers of the song Hurt. but this wouldn't be clear at first, so obviously it's sort of
it doesn't sound like that terrible a present. It's just people that
and so then you sort of go through and the thing would be, oh my god, it's another lemon, they're just seen eating. And because this, it's not just the, like, it's a way of shortcutting, really, because you can't fake the reaction to eating a lemon, so people know it's real. What I didn't know before I started doing it was also the smell of the lemon was immediately would fill the room, because the citrus was kind of out. So that was It's a tough show, actually. I also had my face covered in flour. It's back in the... Like, I was quite... I realised if you do a show with big emotional stakes somehow, yes, that, like, clearly very, like, difficult for... You know, I'd be getting an audience member to hit me in the face or throw water on me or something and then dunk my face in a bowl of flour.
Yeah.
But because they can see it's uncomfortable, it raises the stakes and it's in the, and it raises the tension.
Mm.
And, of course, laughter is just breaking of tension.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of learning how to put shows together using those broad brushstrokes early on, and then as time goes by and years go by, finding ways of getting to the same places without quite the same level of...
Yeah, physical and literal investment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of having face covered in flour and having to eat six lemons. It's kind of... It's what that's made me think of as I'm reading a book at the moment. I can't remember what it's called. It's really good. It's non-fiction. What is it called? Anyway, I'll put it in the podcast notes. But there's a woman in it who, when, you know, when people are having a cup of tea and a biscuit, she has a lemon with a slice of lemon with salt, a few slices of lemon with salt. And I was like, that's sexy.
Yeah.
That is fit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just having a bit of lemon and salt. Yeah. I like raw tomato and salt, but lemon and salt, just for
just fun. A thin slice.
Yeah, it's like tequila without the tequila, really, I guess.
With the skin on.
I don't think she was eating the skin. I think she was just sort of chomping the flesh with a bit of salt on top. I like the idea. It's something that sharp with something that salty.
It does feel a bit like punishment, doesn't it? Like further to the kind of, if you're having a biscuit, I must...
That's true, actually. Although I think it was like a cultural thing. Okay. I can't remember where the character in the book's from. Maybe Pakistan? I wonder. But what a fucking big flavour, bold snack. Yes, please.
It's a real power move, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day for a bit, like been in prison? Or like,
do they get variety?
They probably do, yeah.
You know, the way it's going nowadays, the way they're treated, I bet they're given whatever they want.
They'll probably let a fucking Snickers if they want them.
Yeah.
These days, fucking liberties. I just wonder whether you have ever had a patch of a very routinized. I know you have, you know, similar to me, like, you know, life is pretty unpredictable and chaotic because of the nature of our work, and we don't have even necessarily very straightforward sleep patterns. We're quite often at work at, you know, and we don't work in the day job Monday to Friday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, and we travel a lot. So I imagine most of us have made our peace with and or aren't predisposed to liking to have the same thing for dinner every Wednesday, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But then who fucking knows? I've had some incredibly interesting answers to that question, especially historically.
I went to see my... I was doing my tour show in Brighton, and my aunt lives in Brighton, and she's a nun. So we went and visited her, and she came to the show, it's always nice. It's a nice little... It gives a nice edge to the room having a nun in a comedy audience.
Fuck yeah. My God.
She was very excited too because I hadn't let her come and see the last one because basically a large part of my previous show was a sort of attack on my... Well, in the show before, at one point I tell God to fuck off and it... Probably not for...
Auntie Janice.
She was very excited we were coming on a Friday because they have fish and chips on Friday. I think as a kid, I think we had fish every Friday.
Right.
And there'd always be a roast on Sunday.
Right.
So that's the kind of most ritualistic thing. Now, I don't know, I have... The biggest ritual I think I have is waking up and making coffee.
Right.
Like, before I sort of do anything else, before I cook breakfast or... And I do have cooked breakfast most mornings.
That's nice. Lovely.
You know, sort of, at the moment, mushrooms and a poached egg. I get up, grind the beans. There's something nice about that ritual.
So you do full... You've got a bean grinder.
Aeropress.
And then what are you using? A cafetiere are you using?
Aeropress.
What's an aeropress?
It's that the plastic thing where you... a thing and a filter, and then basically it's a way of making espresso style coffee without an espresso machine. So you pour boiling water in, then you force the air through it to like plunger this thing through. Makes quite a small, quite strong coffee, which you can then like add more hot water to or
hot milk. Oh, yeah. Lush.
But I do like that, and it's I find cafetieres As time's gone by, I've realised I really hate cafetières.
Oh, that's strong.
I have strong feelings.
That's a big
because
word.
They're...
I had an antipathy towards them because I didn't know how to say the word, and I got to university and my mum had always said, I don't think my dad ever said the word, and my mum had always said cafetière.
Cafetière.
And she's not from, you know, the estuary or South London. She just mispronounced it cafetière very confidently. And so I came to London saying that and was really bullied hard. And was trained cafetière Henri. So I'm still nervous about saying it.
Cafetière Henri.
That's how I've learnt to say it, Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry. Good.
Hatred's strong. Have you had a lot of the crack on you? Or hot burning when you pushed it too hard? I'm worried I spat on you actually just doing that impression.
Not that I noticed, good. But then I've lost all my nerve endings. A terrible fight. on the confetti airport, you just call you do the American thing, you call it a French press.
French press, mate.
And then
it's a French press.
You never have to come up. You've known that.
Okay.
You wouldn't have to.
Then
have
all
that
the other words that we say. I got myself saying I'm just going to go to the bathroom instead of toilet.
Yes, me too.
It's like, well, I need people to know. I do at least know how to say toilet. It's not because I've got a weird affliction where I struggle not to say toilet.
Yeah, they really love. They really love. What's the word? Euphemisms that not just like it's the bathroom, restroom. They will not. Say what that is.
Yeah, as well, I'm going for a shit.
But also, loo roll, they call it TP. They won't even say toilet paper, it's TP. Could you pass some TP?
Wow, that's so funny because I don't think of as Americans as being repressed or prudish.
No.
You know, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? But then linguistically, perhaps, a linguistic conservatism.
There was a prudishness there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember Janet Jackson, the Super Bowl? Like the furore that caused. There is a kind of, I don't know. I think there's but it's like there's this, you know.
There is actually, and their hatred of the word cunt.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, that's
or real shyness, real like whoa. Yeah. But that's to me that's just a cultural phenomenon. You just haven't had the reclamation of it there.
What also I think it's obviously it's a more misogynist insult word there. Here, I don't think it's like there it's like a very strong version of pussy. Like saying you're shit and you're a woman or you're feminine and that's bad.
Well, that's what my... I think that's what my mum's generation think as well sometimes.
Right.
Not all, but my mum and I have big debates about the use of that word. So I'm like, well, it's about context. I've never ever heard it used. And my whole generation use it to mean mate, really.
Yeah. So and even if you use it, like, aggressively, you don't... Yeah. It's not used in the same kind of...
Yes,
you call
absolutely.
Someone a cunt, it doesn't have that same value here. Certainly not, like... As you say, among our lot, I guess.
Funny.
Anyway, sorry. What were we talking about? We went off topic.
We did. It was good though. What were we talking about?
I was just about to say something, and then I went, confettiers. My hatred of confettiers. I'd like to get this on.
Oh yes, please get this on. Tell us.
I find they're likely to go wrong quite a lot.
Yes.
When you push it out, it gets stuck. And then sometimes you put, and it forces. I don't like that. And cleaning up a mixture of coffee grounds and water is horrible. Then the worst part is cleaning the bloody thing at the end. You're spooning all these, like what you do, you know, spooning. I took to flushing down the loo for a while because and then there's always some left, and I don't know whether you put it, and you have to let out, and you have to wash it so much. If you use filter papers and pour over, lovely.
Yeah.
Just put that in there.
Tip the brick into the food bin,
or
even into the garden, apparently.
It's great with an aeropress, because you get to, once you've pushed it through, you unscrew the thing, then you fire it into the bin.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Oh, I want one of them, then.
Yeah.
I'm going to save up for one. What's the earliest thing you remember eating, if there is one?
Oh.
Good noises.
Well, I'm trying to think it through, and then I thought, do I remember breastfeeding? I thought probably
no,
and I thought, oh,
I don't think. Well, I don't know actually. Maybe you were breastfed till you were 10, but most people don't remember it, do they? If it's just for a year or two,
I guess we did have a kind of. I'm not sure I have a Madeleine, or a, probably my mum's cooked eggs are the things I remember most. I've just replicated that.
Like you've just recreated for us.
Yeah.
Oh, lush. So were you a fussy kid? Did you eat everything?
I don't think I was particularly
Were you given the opportunity
fussy?
To be fussy?
I don't think
That's
I was.
A contentious question to ask.
Is that a...
I'm going to get tweets from people who say, yeah, well, I didn't give my kid the option to be fussy.
I see.
Not.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Were you a fussy kid?
I don't think so.
No.
Not particularly.
Ooh. Funny to not be sure.
I was quite... I don't know. My sister was.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was sort of... I don't think I was particularly fussy. I mean, now I'm not very fussy at all.
Yeah.
Basically truffle oil. I don't like that.
Ooh.
And that's quite handy.
Yeah. saves you loads of money.
Yeah, saves you loads of money. I think, why would you waste this by putting that horrible stinky sauce on it?
Fair enough.
No, I don't think I was fussy. Were you fussy?
No, I wasn't fussy. I ate loads of everything.
Yeah.
But there were things I didn't like as a kid that I do like now, to the point where there's nothing really left that I don't like, apart from fruit-flavoured ice cream now.
Oh, that's interesting, fruit-flavoured ice
cream. Yeah, I only really realised it quite recently when I got really obsessed with this Magnum that you buy a tub of and you have to leave it for 10 minutes
right.
And crack the roof.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's got, like, caramel and shards of Magnum chocolate running all the way through it. Oof. And I got really into that, and basically it was on like a pot a week through Edinburgh and then beyond. And then went for a dinner party. My partner had cooked and had very kindly gone to try and get me some of that. They didn't have it, they had one, a raspberry one. And I couldn't bear it. And was like, yeah, that's quite...
You know, I think I'm just right. I wouldn't generally order fruit out of choice.
Yeah. Yes.
But I do like a cherry and... So if you've got vanilla ice cream with, like, cherries in it, would you eat that? Or?
Cope, but I'm not going to pick
like
it.
That.
I'm
no,
not
okay.
into it,
right.
yeah.
But it's not just the, like, ice cream flavoured. It's if there's fruit in it, you're not very...
It's just I don't really want fruit involved with ice cream.
I see.
I really love ice cream, but it's got to be caramelly or nutty or, chocolatey or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, coffee, I love coffee ice cream.
How do you feel about pistachio?
Big fan.
Oh, I love pistachio.
I really
whenever
pistachio.
Whenever I'm in a restaurant and they've got pistachio, I always want one of the ice creams. And then if they say pistachio, I'm so happy.
I'm like that about coffee and then second pistachio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of coffee ice cream.
Are you?
Interesting.
I think that's pretty normal.
And coffee chocolate too, I'm always a little bit disappointed with it. But then, actually, this is... Did you find you had to, like... There's foods, like coffee, I think, and beer... are things that I had to make train myself to get through kind of, this is quite an unpleasant taste, to the place where I could bear it, and then to the place where I could actually enjoy it.
Like smoking, actually. But no, there's lots of things. There's loads of things like that. I distinctly remember trying beer so often, desperate to like it through my teens. And I remember the camping holiday I was on with my family where I sipped it and went, oh, I just liked it. I liked it.
Right, yeah.
And was over the moon. I've been waiting for years to like beer. And now I love beer.
Mm.
So nice.
Yeah.
Coffee,
although now
I've
kind of overtrained myself with beer.
Right.
You know,
so now you like really... Do you need really hoppy, wanky beers to like the beer?
Yeah, strong pale ales, really.
Yeah.
But I think it... Ever since nice beer has been available, I feel quite jealous actually of the younger generation today, and they're not even drinking. They could be. They're never going to have to go through the horrible. Let's learn to like this horrible lager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, call me a pervert, but I prefer the lager to those flavoursome beers.
Right.
Oh, I feel like I'm the person who's just like they think mild cheddar's
nice. No. I can understand. I have a nice lager every now and then, but what kind? Like, I guess what
my
I'm really
favourites
mean is
are
like
Moretti or an Estrella or something
like
that.
Yes.
Yeah,
but not having
not
to go through
cooking lager. Yeah,
or having to,
it's true, but it's a rite of passage.
I think it tastes like it's got capers in it, Carling.
Gross. I love capers and I love beer. I don't want caper beer, kombucha beer.
I can never say it. McKinley.
Yeah.
Macfest.
French Press of Comedy Festival.
I remember going, one of my gigs was in, I think, the rugby club.
And then in the bar there, and I just went, oh, I'll get a beer. And said, oh, do you have anything other than Carling? And yeah, oh, yeah. Millions of people across the country love this beer, and you've got a problem with it, have you?
Oh, God, this is the worst. Uh-oh. Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Have you ever done any travelling that was particularly memorable because of what you ate?
Well, I was in Tokyo and I ate some beautiful sushi, and then I was sort of tricked with one of them. Was it a sea anemone on top, or like a delicacy, which is absolutely disgusting?
Right.
It was that wasn't, and I didn't eat a guinea pig.
Oh, a sea anemone is like the spiky one, like a dome.
It was just this blob on top. It was just a test. I remember it being slightly gritty as well, or if I imagine that, but it wasn't. Yeah, well, it wasn't nice. But then mostly, of course, we ate beautiful food on that holiday, but that's the one I remember. The most memorable thing about being in Japan, actually, is the savoury breakfasts, because it's not just
Well, tell me about Japanese breakfast. I've got no idea. I've never been.
They're just little tiny portions of, like, but tofu and, you know, done in... The amount of textures, it turns out, you can get out of tofu.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Some of those textures I didn't know existed, and I'd be quite happy not to have done it. they'd be like greens, quite... Just remember it being these little things, quite salty.
Yeah.
I think that was the... I guess umami is the thing. Because I guess even a cooked breakfast here that is sort of hearty and meaty and...
Yeah, yeah.
They're like... I think there's always fish around and that kind of thing.
Oh, lovely.
I think. But it's... Quite a while ago, my memory is awful.
I love that breakfast where you have like smoked haddock with mash and greens.
Oh, that sounds nice. I love a kedgeree.
Yeah. Is that a kedgeree? I think it might be. And then you have a poached egg on top.
No, kedgeree's rice. Oh. It's kind of curry.
It's cooked rice with cooked smoked rice haddock with, and eggs.
Stuff and egg. Although I think it's always done with boiled eggs. And I always want it with a nice gloopy, like, poached or fried egg or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't do that. And I wonder if actually I could try it myself.
Yes, please do.
Why not?
Have you ever craved anything really weird and specific to eat? When you're hungry, are you like, I'm hungry for this specific thing?
Oh, a lot of the time, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is that not?
No, I love it. What is it? No, I just don't think I've ever asked the question before, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I to the point where I get quite... if I'm very hungry, there's a point where if my blood sugar's low and I get so, like, angry...
Yeah, that, me too.
And it's really, like... I was in Paris, River and I were in Paris for a friend's wedding, and we were just the two of us this day ago, and I got angry, but then also, like, wouldn't... I'd become unable to make a decision.
Yes.
And keep on almost making it worse for myself. And of course make it worse for the person I'm with. But we sat down and then looked at and go back and said, no, let's go somewhere. Just get hungrier and hungrier and pushing this thing off and not I find it hard to decide because it feels like I want a specific thing, and if I don't get the thing, I'm not going to. And then, of course, really, all I need
just something is quickly, something. Probably a carb or something to just slow release a bit of sugar, blood sugar, level up.
To lower that down.
Oh, love. I know exactly what you mean. I get to that point so often where I'm like, fuck, definitely need to eat something. I don't want that shit.
Okay. I know.
Basically, about loads of food that would be fine.
On touring sometimes.
Oh, God,
when do you eat when you're touring?
Oh, well, the tour's only just begun, and I'm going to work it out. I think this one will be a learning curve. This is my first long tour ever, really, so I just don't know. I ideally would like to have, like, because I'm not with my kid for some of it. I am for some of it, actually. For about half of it, I won't be with my kids, so I'd like to sleep in and have breakfast then, and then have, like... Maybe something at about 3-4 o'clock.
Right.
But there's loads of places that aren't serving really nice food at that time.
Oh, so are you staying in most... You're staying over most places?
It's a mixture. It's a real mixture, yeah.
I try and drive as much as I can. But then it ends up with such crazy long drives and long days.
Yeah, exactly.
What I often end up doing is eating after the show.
Yes. And then it's basically kind of like a curry or something from the services.
Or it's the service station is...
Yeah.
This is... I've taken to checking online when if a place will be open.
Yeah.
I'm not, the
driving back from Bath, I think it was, and the first services on the way back, is it Lee Delamere? Anyway, there's a Burger King there. I thought, you know what, I think I can just make it. And I really wanted a burger. I thought, oh, I need this. And got there an hour before closing, and they'd been closed for an hour, and I was just furious.
No!
I got a big row with Pizza Express because they were shut an hour. So I've taken to checking, going, finding it's closed, and then going online to complain to head office.
Oh, while you eat a curly sandwich from the W.H. Smith's or whatever. Yeah.
Well, actually, the Marks and Spencer's was just about to close, so it's blooming lucky I got there when I blooming did. I got some vouchers out of that, but I got the Pizza Express gave me vouchers for Dough Balls. Happy about that. Burger King didn't do a thing. They just said, oh, I'm sorry, because they're all individual franchises. We can't control them. We're not allowed under EU directives. I thought, no, you bring them into this. And this is how we got in this mess. And then, but then I pushed it because I went, yeah, but you don't need to put a time on your website then.
Yeah.
You say I'm still angry about it.
I can sense that, but I've share your rage. It's infuriating.
Because you do.
I did it last night. I was like driving back from Leicester in this terrible wind, and I was like, I could see it was getting closer and closer to 10, which is, I think, when most of them, the latest on a Sunday that any of them are going to be open. And I like got close to the services and was like, fuck it, I'm just going to get home.
Yeah.
And it's quite a bold decision because I do know that by the time I'm home, I'll be a bit moody.
Mm-hmm. And then if you got, when you get home, do you know, oh, there is something there I can cook quickly?
I knew that my girlfriend had got food that there was leftovers from. Right. And then in the end, I just had a few prawn crackers and didn't actually really want a big thing. I don't know.
Do you find it? Well, I find it.
I find I'm quite adrenaline-y after gigs, and I don't. I need probably an hour or two before I want to eat after a gig. I want to drink a beer.
Yeah.
But I don't want.
I find on a tour, the adrenaline from a show, I need to get in the car as quickly as possible because I know I'll be really properly awake
for
an hour. Get to a service station, get a coffee, and then do the rest of the thing.
Absolutely. And then be aware that you'll have at least half an hour unfrazzling your brains once you get in.
Yeah, that's sort of the hardest thing sometimes.
I agree. It was the worst was when my son was tiny and I was knocker feeding him and I would have to get in and express for another, like, I'd be like, right, I'm finally ready to sleep. And then I'd have to fucking empty my knockers into it, because otherwise it's an agony.
When you said express, the image that jumped into my head was just you emoting around the house.
I've done a gig. And I was expressing so loudly that I woke them all up. My singing and dancing, expressing. Yeah, that was like, this feels like a step, this feels like giving a step too far as a parent.
Could you not do it in the car?
I learnt to.
Right.
And that's very illegal.
Oh, is it?
While you're driving with your fucking tits out with this. You can only do it, obviously.
Oh, do you
with
like put your
the,
hand on it?
Well, I had an electric one.
Do you plug it into the.
But there's nowhere to plug it in my car.
Can you not get an expressing thing with an adapter for the little cigarette lighter?
If I ever have another kid, I'm doing that. Because I know I had to use a hand one, so it would mean that you're there.
Right.
And you're in the dark usually, so you can't quite tell if it's working right.
It doesn't sound safe.
No, it's not safe. Did it anyway. I used to win that extra.
My husband is American.
Yes, and can I just say I'm really loving husband.
Husband, it's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Because spouse is a bit.
Do you think it's vague in the same way that partner is, which is a sort of helpful vagueness?
Yes.
But equally,
I think often. I think people's assumption, people I don't know, is not, oh, that means they've married a non-binary person. Or he's married a non-binary person, but rather, he's married a man and he doesn't want, he thinks I will judge him for that.
I wonder, right, okay. And also husband is just glorious.
Spouse is just a bit clinical.
Yeah.
And partner is a bit like, well, we're not partners, we're married.
And hyph doesn't quite.
No,
yeah.
No, you can't do it the other way around. I think also sort of Rivers hyph.
It's a bit formal, isn't it?
Rivers happier. Rivers fine being called a husband.
Right.
It's just. I think wife is the real kind of.
Yeah. Whoa.
But then I think there's, you know, because of power structure, or whatever.
Yeah.
Wife is a weirdly loaded term, isn't it?
It's really like it's really ony.
Yeah.
It's really grabby and
ony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I do like to say them indoors.
Them indoors. Except in two women in a relationship, I think that changes the dynamic of it completely, because if there's two people going wife, I think that's
That's
great.
My accountant, my accountant, when I corrected his pronouns, I'm married to a non-binary person, and I use them and that, and then he go, I wonder how they're going to work that out in the tax things, because there's going to be more, of course. Yeah, I don't. And then at the end, it was this little bit, it was a weird moment.
What does gender matter for tax?
We got to the end, and then he filed, and then he suddenly went, I'm so sorry, I got confused. I thought you meant you'd married two people.
Oh, adorable!
which won't be legal for about 20 years or something. What I was going to say is the late night eating thing.
Yes.
I think it's very weird as an American to come here and discover that even in central London, beyond 11 at night, you're not going to find anywhere to eat. But most places, beyond 10, you're not going to be able to find anywhere to eat. The idea of... And I think it's pretty weird, too. In Soho, maybe one or two places where, in the middle of the night after a late gig or something, you can actually go and have a sit-down meal.
Yeah.
In New York, you can have an Italian at 4 in the morning.
I know, yeah. I've got... The only friends I ever meet for late dinners are American friends.
Yeah.
it's such a cool way of doing it.
I love... It's really nice.
You need to... Yeah.
It's lovely, though.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it depends how long you're sleeping.
I suppose that's true.
Or what your pattern of eating is like, isn't it?
Yeah, probably right.
Delicious. A plague of hippos arrives from the sky, like locusts, but instead it's hippos. And as quickly as people can tweet that they've seen it, they begin to all become dead because hippos are very heavy and massive. They've agreed to stop pelting the Earth like leathery flesh asteroids, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, do a killer Sudoku that's as big as a football pitch in just 7 hours. There's no time for breaks. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! Your reward is the adulation of all people of all time for saving humanity from the hippo blight. No, not blight, hippo swarms. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Obviously, you've been focusing very hard on this kind of semi-physical but very intellectually challenging task for 7 hours, so you're starving. I want to know what your dream food that doesn't have to be possible, healthy, ethical, it can be totally made up. What would be your favourite thing in a state of actual hunger, but perhaps, at a point where you can make a decision and you're happy? I want you to be in the perfect situation for eating. Happy, hungry, calm. I want to know what you'd eat, what you'd drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, then who, with, and where, please.
Right, actually, I can do this really easily, I think.
Okay.
Oysters.
To
begin with.
How are you having them?
Raw.
Yes, but
Tabasco.
I mean... Tabasco. Yeah.
I think Tabasco. I sometimes put the oniony stuff on, but it's the Tabasco lemon? I really want. And with some crusty bread and some little spicy sausages.
What are they called? They've got a good name, haven't they? I know what you mean. Anyway, my bad. Stop interrupting.
I have a nice glass of, what am I kidding? A couple of glasses of Sancerre.
That's nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
A really crispy white wine.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And where are you going for it and who with?
Well.
You're taking river.
Yeah, of course.
You've banged on about them loads.
I know.
It's been ages since I've had a guest who's so, reeks of being in loveness. It's really nice.
Sorry,
I know when people can't stop talking about their partner.
I think it, because we've been in a long-distance relationship for so long. And, really not... And we started it in a long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
That, I think... Well, it's kind of amazing we're still together.
Yes.
And now we're living together. And so this thing which was waiting months and months and then 2 weeks together and then nothing and then...
To
not have that is such a kind of, oh my gosh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. So, probably because on our honeymoon we drove down the coast of California. That was absolutely lovely. So overlooking the sea... There, probably.
Great.
By the sea, definitely. Also, I didn't do my main course yet.
Oh, sorry.
I want a... I'm going to have
I feel like the waiter... I was on holiday in Greece. I was on holiday with some friends and the waiter took our order and we were about halfway through and he walked off. I've just done that to you. I'm so sorry. What's for mains?
A Chicago style deep pan pizza.
Microwave pizza.
The proper like pie. Nice one of them. Oh, absolutely beautiful. With probably inside artichoke hearts.
Yes.
Anchovies. And olives.
Yes!
Very lovely, salty,
gooey.
And I might move on to a nice kernel pale ale at that point.
I was going to say, we change your drink.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's quite... I want you to be drinking something red or, you know, something with a bit of punch, bit of slap to it, drink-wise, with a pizza that salt.
Maybe a red wine. Maybe I'll see how I feel at the time. I'll have
one beer. You can have. You I'll can alternate sips. It's a dream. Yeah, it's a dream meal. Yeah. So have them both.
All right, great. Thank you. Oh, and then for pudding, I think pistachio ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yum. Oh, I love it. I think got a similar mouth. Fucking love the sound of your dream feast.
It's very salty. It's all very salty.
It's really salty, isn't it? Do you think because you're answering the question with a bit of a hangover, generally? You've basically asked to eat the sea. But congratulations for still being able to bring yourself to put booze in the dream meal and having the foresight to know that in this particular circumstance.
My problem is I know that the easiest way to get over a hangover is to have a beer. It's then having the self control, the self awareness to know. But not many.
Yeah, absolutely. thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you very much. I had a lovely time.
John Luke is at the Soho Theatre with his latest brilliant show from the 20th of February for a few nights. I highly recommend going. He's such a funny boy. Even the title is funny. It's called After Me Comes the Flood, but in French. Drip, splosh, splash, drip, blop, 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 blop. And he's touring it too. Best bet to find out what he's up to live stuff wise and in every other sense is to follow him on Twitter. He's at J. Luke Roberts. And why don't you come and see me on tour? I'm taking my show Hench all around the UK, Ireland and Melbourne. I'm hopefully somewhere near you. Go to my website, jessicafostercue.com, for all live show listings, including Hoovering live shows. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I am at Jessica Fostercue. I love hearing from you. Thank you again so much for listening. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.